It's always good to be in God's house because there's a peace in the house of the Lord that I feel every time I get around here with you guys. I just appreciate that peace so very much. And it's good to see you tonight. And my wife and I certainly hope, along with the pastoral staff, that every single one of y'all have a great Thanksgiving. How many of you are looking forward to buffeting your body? Anybody looking forward to that? Yeah. Well, I've tried to stay away from the food just a little the last few days in hopes that there won't be quite so much going on in the next 30 days. But anyhow, whether you eat a lot or whether you don't eat very much, no matter what happens, this is called a holiday. You know what that means? That means it's a holy day. That means this is not about us. This is about the Lord. And so one of the ways that you avoid the holiday blues or the holiday downs or any of those type of things is you don't make this about you. This is about the Lord. It's about giving Him praise and thanking Him for everything He's done. And we give Him praise for being the ever-present God that never leaves us or forsakes us. Oh, man, He is right here in the midst of us tonight, and I am grateful for that. And no matter where you go this week, He's going to be right there with you. And so wherever you get, if you feel something blue coming over you, just pull over to the side of the road and lift your hands and just praise it away. Okay? And just give God glory. And I guarantee you, you'll find out that you have discovered the essence of the holiday season. So praise the Lord for that. First thing we're going to do tonight before we get together and just enjoy the Lord as the body of Christ, as a family, is we're going to give to the Lord. We're going to offer up sacrificial giving to God. And obedient giving. The Lord has done so much in my life this last year financially. How many of you say the Lord's really touched me financially this last year? How many of you say, God's done things. I don't have a whole lot of money, but He's gotten me through, and it's just a miracle how He got me through. You know, He'll continue to do that if you'll continue to follow Him and honor Him. Rhonda and I have had times in our lives since we've been born again where we tried to figure it out in our heads. We couldn't figure it out how things were going to work out. We just said, let's walk in faith and trust in God. And at the end of the year, we got there and God had taken care of us, and we didn't know how, but we were just sure thankful. How many are thankful? You thankful that He's done it? I'm going to tell you, He'll do that with you forever. The Bible says, I am young. Well, let me go back to the beginning of that verse. It says, I was young and now I'm old. And in my life, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. How many of you say, I'm a little older, but I can testify to that in my life. I've been watching people down through the years. I have too. I have watched and I have lived it myself, and I am just so grateful to a mighty God tonight. So if you need help or an envelope for a cash gift, wave it at the guys that are dressed in red, and they'll be glad to help you. If you want them to bring your gift down tonight, just ask them to do that. They'll be glad to do it. Let's just go before the Lord and let's give Him thanks. Father, we stand before You tonight as a grateful people. First of all, Lord, we're thankful that we live in a nation, Lord, that is a nation in which we can worship You freely without fear. Father, I know I have brothers and sisters all around the world that when they gather in a gathering like this, there's the very real possibility that somebody could come in and try to take people away for what they're doing. Lord, I thank You for that. Father, I thank You that I live in a land of opportunity. But Lord, more than anything else, I thank You that I'm a citizen of heaven. I thank You that I'm in the heavenly economy. I thank You that no matter what happens here on the earth, You have made a pact with me, a promise. That, Lord, You have said, I will take care of you. And Lord, we have examples all the way down through history in the Word of God. We see how God took care of His people. And Lord, tonight I face the future without any fear, because I know that You are there. You're already in the future. You're already preparing opportunities for me. You've already gone before me and opened doors. And Lord, even when my enemies surround me, You said, I'm preparing a table before You in the presence of Your enemies. Lord, we give You thanks. I thank you that I serve that same God that Moses served when the people cried out for meat and they were in the wilderness. And God looked at Moses. He said, tomorrow you're going to eat meat. And Moses said, how in the world can that happen? And God said, you watch and you'll see. And Father, I thank you that you're that same God. And I just give you praise, glory, and honor for everything you've done for me. Let's thank him real quick for what he's done financially for us this year. Lord, I give you praise. Father, even though I work, you're the one who has given me the ability to get wealth. Lord, I give you thanks for every step that I take and every breath that I take. Father, I thank you for my job. No matter how much it gets on my nerves, Lord, I know that you have me there, Lord, and you've put me there for a purpose and a reason. I say, I give you glory. Let my life be a sweet sacrifice to you in that place. And Lord, as this year, as you move me or do whatever you want to do with me, as you open new doors of opportunity, I want the same thing to happen to me no matter where I go, and I want you to get all the glory. And I give you praise, and I promise you, Lord, this year, I'm not going to be a taker, I'm going to be a giver. Father, I'm going to be a giver this coming year, and I give you glory for that. Bless these gifts and use them for the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. God bless you as you give to the Lord.
There's no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing to you, we sing to you. There's no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. Jesus is our God. Lord, we sing to you. Lord, we sing to you. Lord of all the earth will shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Lord of all.
Lord of all the earth will shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, tonight we've come together to come to the Lord's table and to eat together before we go off and celebrate with our families. And as I was thinking about this time, praying about it last week, the Lord just dropped a little short thing in my spirit that I just want to share with you tonight. And I just pray it'll be a blessing to you, and you'll just take it with you, not only this week, but you'll take it with you, and it'll be a blessing to you the rest of the holiday season, but even beyond that into next year. And you guys remember that Sunday, we talked about living a life of gratefulness. How many of you remember that? And we talked about how powerful that a life of gratefulness is. And one of the elements of living a life of thanks living that we didn't discuss on Sunday, I want to touch on tonight. Now, in every single one of our lives, circumstances come and circumstances go, and some circumstances come and they don't seem like they leave. And some of those circumstances that come, they're good, or we term them good. We look at them and say, hey, that's a great thing that happened in my life. And some circumstances that come, they're tough. They're hard to handle. They challenge us. They cause pain. And a life of thanks living, which we talked about on Sunday, it's never achieved through circumstantial praise. Do you understand what I'm saying when I say circumstantial praise? If you want to live a life of power, how many of you want to live a life full of power, full of supernatural power, spiritual power, the Holy Spirit's power? And if you want to live a life of true freedom, then you must learn to be a transcendent worshiper. And that's one who can see beyond the veil of circumstances. It's a challenge that every single one of us faces, because at some point in time in every one of our lives, not only is good going to come, but bad's going to come, tough's going to come, trials are going to come, pain's going to come. And if we're a circumstantial worshiper, then when those things come, we evaluate how we're going to worship God and how much thanks we're going to give about our life or what He's done for us based upon what is happening in our life rather than upon who God is. And if you're going to live that way, then you're never going to live a life of true breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. True breakthrough. And true freedom. Because God has something on the other side of that sacrifice for you that you're never going to experience until you get to the place and when that you're willing to look beyond the veil of circumstances, not denying that they're there, but looking beyond that veil and seeing what's happening at the throne of God and living your life based upon what is real there and what's happening there. I can't go back, and I won't go back and detail all the realities that accompany a life of transcendent gratefulness. I did that Sunday, but I want to look tonight and just talk for a few minutes about the relationship between gratefulness and liberty. The relationship between gratefulness and liberty. Let me ask you a question. What makes someone truly free? I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, but I don't know, maybe that's why God called me to pastor, because I think about things. You know, I sit and I think about that, and I think, what makes someone truly free? Is it the fact that they never have any restriction placed on any action? They never have a restriction placed upon any decision or any plan? Is that what makes somebody truly free? If that's what makes somebody truly free, then we'll never have any truly free people in this world. Even those of us that live in what is determined to be and what is currently determined to be a free country, we still have circumstances that are tough and difficult come to us. None of us are free from that reality. Everyone is going to have their time of trial. And is true freedom, is that somebody who chooses freedom in the presence of situations that try to put them in bondage? If you're ever going to experience true freedom, you can't wait for the day in which nothing is bad is ever happening to you again. Because as long as we live in this world, until Jesus comes, every single one of us are going to have trials and tests and conflicts. Every single one. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus has set us free. If it's only a circumstantial freedom, then it's a freedom that comes and goes. But if it's a freedom that is transcendent, that is alive and real in the midst of circumstances and actually reigns and rules over those circumstances, then in reality, Jesus has really set us free. We are really a free people. Now, think about what life would be like if there were no conflicts or restrictions upon us. How are people going to know and appreciate true liberty if we don't know what it's like to struggle, to be in a war, to have restrictions trying to come against us? How do we know what true liberty really is? What's attractive to us about the light that burns and shines from the city on a hill unless it beckons to us out of the midst of darkness? We are attracted to the light because of the darkness that surrounds us. That's one of the reasons. It serves as something that guides us. It serves as something that illuminates. It serves as something that actually feeds into our soul. And in the kingdom of God, we have been provided by our Lord Jesus all conditions for liberty. Now, in the world we live, we're never going to have a time in which we're not going to have to choose liberty. Because there's going to be times where circumstances are going to come and trials are going to come, and it's going to defy what Jesus has bought for you. Anybody ever experienced that before? Jesus has bought things for you, liberty, peace. You see it in the Word of God, but circumstances and situations come along and you didn't necessarily always ask them to come. They just appear in people's lives at different times, and it just defies what God has already said about you and defies what He's done. And if you're going to be a person of true freedom, you're going to have to choose freedom. And God's not going to choose that for you. Everybody say, God won't choose it for me. God wants you. He's already chosen freedom for you. He already went to the cross and provided for it. He chose to give it to you as His children. But you, my brothers and sisters, if you're going to experience the full benefits of what the Lord has paid for you, you have to make that difficult choice to choose it in the face of things that are saying something other than that. Now, Sunday we talked a little bit about Paul and Silas in Acts 16. Paul and Silas, when they were cast in prison, had been beaten and were cast in prison and chained, their circumstances were not circumstances of freedom at that point in time. But here's what they did. They chose freedom spiritually. It started with a choice in the spirit. You can't wait for it to appear in the flesh before you decide to believe it or before you decide to be grateful for it. It has to begin in the spirit. Everybody say it begins in the spirit. It begins in the spirit, and it begins by you choosing to tap into it, even in the face of circumstances that defy it. Now, Paul and Silas were definitely, like I said, not circumstantial worshipers. They had matured beyond that. They were at the place to where they were looking at another reality, not denying the one that they were in, but they were determining by how they were going to respond and what they were going to receive by another reality, another truth that they were looking at, one that was even more true than the one, their circumstantial reality. And that was, they were looking at what Jesus had said and what He had done. Now, I'm going to read a scripture to you that's really been a special scripture to me all of my life. And I just want to share this one with you. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. And I love the way it starts. It's, you know, we're kind of jumping in here in the middle of a discourse that Paul has done under the inspiration of the Spirit. But I love the way that it starts. It says, therefore, we don't lose heart. We don't give up. We don't get into despair. We don't give in to defeat. We do not lose heart. Even though circumstantially the outward man is perishing, yet there is another reality that is true for the children of God. And that is the inward man is being made stronger and more powerful day by day. Day by day. And then it begins to talk about what we're going through. And it says, for our light affliction, which is just for a moment. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working something for us. It's actually bringing a benefit into my life. What is that benefit? It is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How many of you want the glory of God in your life? You want to experience and know it. No matter what you walk through, no matter what's going on circumstantially, those things, if God has allowed them in your life, they're there to benefit you and not to kill you. They are there, even though they may appear like they're not ever going to go away. Somebody maybe had a catastrophic physical accident or lost a loved one, and that's not going to change. Well, it's not going to change in this life. But still, if we are small picture believers, we're not going to praise. We're not going to be grateful. But if we are big picture and we begin to look at what the truth of the Word of God is and what God is saying, God is using those circumstances to make that glory of God heavy in your life. And that is something that is not going to go away. It's eternal. It's something that God has intended to live with you forever. And then it says this. It says, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary. Temporary. Even things that appear permanent in this life, they're still temporary. Very temporary compared to eternity. Compared to eternity, our 70 or 80 or even 100 years in this life doesn't even scratch the surface. Sometimes when I'm going through terrible trials in this life and I'm tempted to quit and give up on my faith and tempted to not worship the Lord anymore, I think about this. Am I going to sell out eternity for 70 years in this life, 80 years in this life, 100 years in this life? No, I'm not. I am not going to do that. I am going to see the big picture. And I know that the things that are not seen are the things that are eternal. Those are the things that will last forever. So gratefulness to God, being able to worship Him, focus on Him, believe His Word, and worship Him is a key to true liberty. And the individual who chooses to rejoice in the liberty that God has given them, even when they don't see it on the outside, let me tell you something. There is no attack that the enemy can bring against them that can prevail against them. You become undefeatable. Undefeatable. When you have reached a place to where you say, I set my eyes on Jesus, and I am not going to allow anything to escape my lips other than that praise and gratefulness and thankfulness to Him, I'm going to choose to see the eternal and not deny the temporary, but not focus on it and not let it determine my eternal reality and how I'm going to respond to my King and the quality of life that I'm going to have while I'm here. What's the enemy going to do with that person? There's no attack against them that is going to prevail. You guys remember Job? And you remember the enemy came against him with bad circumstances, tough circumstances, difficult circumstances. And the accusation against Job that the enemy brought was, I guarantee you, if his circumstances get bad, his thanks to you will do what? Evaporate. It'll evaporate. It'll go completely away. He is a circumstantial worshiper. And I can prove it to you. And you know what? Job's victory came not in the absence of bad circumstances or tests, but right in the midst of them. When he chose in the middle of all of that to look at God and to trust Him and to worship Him. And He said those words that we all think about. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And if you choose to trust Him, you're going to praise Him. You're going to praise him. You're going to say, I trust him. I don't know what's happening. I'm hurting. I am hurting right now. But you know what? I praise him because somehow this is bringing an eternal weight of glory in my life that's going to far exceed and surpass this temporary, momentary affliction that I'm going through. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. And if he chooses to let me be poured, my life be poured out on the sacrifice of my faith, poured out before him, and I actually leave this life, what greater thing could ever happen to me? What greater thing? And what's the enemy going to do with a guy like that or a lady like that? What's he going to do? He's going to say, there's nothing we can do. He's undefeatable. He can't be defeated. As long as he takes that stance, as long as he holds on to his faith like that, he is the model of victory. I don't care if he's sitting in a wheelchair. I don't care if he's a paraplegic. He's the model of victory. And he is reveals the strength and the glory of God. The strength and the glory of God. So, that's the relationship between gratefulness and liberty. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, then I'm done. We're going to take the Lord's table. It says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And then it says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, there are some words, the two is's in there have actually kind of been added. They were not really in the original language. They were kind of added to try to help us. Well, actually, the two is's at the end were actually added in. They were not in the original language. So it says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, their liberty. Think of it this way, where the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. How many of you said, Jesus is my Lord? Oh, I'm going to tell you, in the last days, the enemy's going to try to come against the people of God, and he may try to orchestrate some bad circumstances here and there for us. But we, if we learn these truths, we can shine in the darkness with such a bright and powerful light that it's not only going to reveal glory among us, but that whole thing is just going to reverberate outwards and just shake the kingdom of darkness. Because if we get to this place, brothers and sisters, the enemy doesn't have any other thing he can do to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? He doesn't have any other thing he can do. All right. I'm grateful for that type of liberty. That's the type of liberty we have. It's yours. You do have to choose it. You don't have to create it. It's already been created for you. But you do have to choose it. Because your perception is going to be your reality. Now, it may not be what reality really is, but you can create your own reality. You can create your own bondage by believing something else and by allowing the enemy to surround you circumstantially and beat you down and get your eyes off Jesus, and the gratefulness goes out of your life. And you can be bound as a free child of God, and that's what's sad. But brothers and sisters, I know something about you. I know that God is creating in this church a people who are going to choose to see the reality of Christ. And as they do that, the natural outflow of that choice that they're making is going to be a roar of praise that's going to rise up out of their lives, that's going to shake not only their own shackles off of them, but the shackles of everyone else that's around watching and listening. It's going to rattle things. It's going to rattle things. I know it. So as we go into this year, let's tap into the liberty that the Lord has bought for us. We are coming to the table of the Lord. These elements represent the price that our Savior paid to set you free. The Bible tells us that we approach not to perform a religious ceremony, but to commune with a holy God. Tonight as we come, here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you not to take communion by yourself tonight. I'd like for you to get together with family members or friends. If you're here alone, grab somebody that you know. Get with someone. If you see someone that's sitting out there by themselves, ask them to join you. And we're going to come together as a group, and after everybody's been served, I want you to wait till everybody gets their elements, and then I'm going to release you to take communion with whoever the Lord lays on your heart to take it with. Okay, because this is a time to give thanks. And when the early church came together and they ate and drank together, it was called a love feast. And tonight we're going to share our love with one another. And we're going to show our gratefulness to one another by communing together, by taking communion together. Okay? And you can, we have filled up these things. There's no limit. All right? And so you can take communion with as many people as you want. All right? You understand what I'm saying? And we've got a lot of cups here. You can drink as much, so much that you got to go right to the restroom after it's over if you need it. But we did this for a reason, and that is so that you would have an opportunity to not get in a hurry, but to have an opportunity to go and take communion with people and just be able to share your thankfulness for God and for each other together. Okay? How does that sound? Does that sound okay? All right. Well, let's just go before the Lord and let's ask for His presence to be here with us as we do this. And then the ushers are going to guide you down and come down, get your elements, and if you want to take more than one bread because you know you're going to take with several people, go ahead. But this table's going to be open. If you want to go back and take one and you do that and you take it with your family and you want to come back, let me tell you, the Lord put no restriction on there's no restrictions tonight on the table. You can come back and get elements as often as you want and go to somebody else, okay? And then we'll close everything out at the end. How does that sound? When it looks like we're through feasting on the Lord. And through giving thanks, okay, and enjoying His presence. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank You for the opportunity to be with the body of Christ tonight. Lord, it seems appropriate that we would first of all fellowship with You and fellowship with each other in the house of God before we go out and eat and love on our families. And Lord, I just want this feast tonight to be bring honor to You, and I just want everybody, I'm asking, Lord, for a spirit of gratefulness and thankfulness and a knowledge of Your presence to just fall on this place right now. Let's just kind of lift our hands like this. Father, fall on me tonight. Lord, manifest Yourself among us this evening as we worship You. As we feast together tonight, Lord God, I'm asking You, Father, that as we fellowship with You and around You, with one another, Lord, that You will just be here in great glory. Father, I thank You that when You're here, that anything You want to do, You can do. Lord, the works of Jesus, where Jesus is and where He's alive, anything is liable to happen that's a work of Christ. So, Father, we give you free reign. Let's just give him free reign. Father, we just give you free reign to just be you tonight. Do whatever you want to do. Your kingdom come and your will be done. Lord, we release you to work in our bodies and in our lives, in our minds, in our friendships, in our relationship. Lord, I'm asking you to heal relationships tonight. Lord, if there's anybody in here that has ought against someone else, I'm asking you, Lord, that they'll have the courage tonight to go to that person and ask for forgiveness and be able to fellowship around you and around the blood and the body and get those relationships at least healed, Lord, so that we can move forward in you. Lord, we give you glory tonight. Thank you for this opportunity. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. So take with your families if they're here.